nation, glory reign, shining like the day, King of heaven come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name, King of heaven come.
Change one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Glad to have you guys here with us this evening. It should be a great evening. Jeremy Camp will be cutting in live to some of his music, and then Mercy Me. We've had Jeremy Camp out here a couple times, and Mercy Me was down at Olathe last year, and many of you know their music, so we're going to be looking at that. And then Pastor Chuck will be opening up in prayer here in just a moment. So it'll be an exciting evening as we just pray for the harvest of America. Just want to see many souls come to Christ throughout this nation, not just here, but throughout the world. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we will cut in live. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing evening. We just pray that you would work all things out for your glory. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister to each and every person that is here tonight and in all the different venues throughout the United States. May people have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying as the Word of God goes forth. And we thank you for the power of your gospel, the good news of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the new life, the eternal life that he offers to all of us. And Lord, we thank you. We pray that you be glorified. We pray that you would just minister to each one of us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. We'll just feed right into it. Is it ready to go?
What's up, America? How you doing tonight? Well, we want to welcome all of you in Angel Stadium, all of you listening live on the radio, on the internet, and our host locations all over the country. This is Harvest America. One day, one church, one nation, here to hear one message from Pastor Greg Laurie. Put some noise together if you're excited. Make some noise today. My name is Levi, and I'm so stoked to be your host tonight. And you have to understand what an amazing, really historic thing this is to be together and to be a part of this. Because there are people gathered together at over 2,100 locations, arenas, churches, gatherings, meeting places from sea to shining sea, joining in with all of us here at Angel Stadium. This truly is something that's sort of unprecedented, making this potentially one of the largest gatherings in the evangelistic history of our country, certainly within the last 20 years. And that's an amazing thing, because this is what our nation needs the most, don't you think? That's right. Well, we truly have a phenomenal evening ahead of us. You've already heard from the Harvest worship team. What do you think about them? And still to come, music from Mercy Me and Jeremy Camp. Before we're all together, going to hear a message from Greg Laurie that could literally change your life forever. But first, we're going to have a word of prayer. And that's really perfect, because this whole thing was born in prayer and has been carried each step of the way in prayer. Did you know that there have been over 10,000 people who have committed to praying for this event, and over 70,000 names of individuals have been entered into the prayer cloud at harvestamerica.com? Many people anxious to see many people reached by Christ. And so we're going to have a word of prayer. And to do that, we want to welcome someone very special to the platform. Someone who 23 years ago had a dream to see an evangelistic event take place in Southern California, that over the last 23 years of this outreach, millions of people have been impacted by. He's a pastor here in California and a spiritual leader to many all over the nation. Harvest America, could we welcome Pastor Chuck Smith?
Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, as we gather tonight, we're so excited about being here and looking forward, Lord, to what you have in mind, that which you are going to do in the hearts and lives of so many people, not just here, but across the United States, who will be watching this event this evening. Lord, what a privilege and what a blessing to be able to just see a marvelous move of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for those here tonight who really don't know you yet, have not had that personal commitment of their lives to Jesus Christ. We pray that the message that Greg brings will touch their hearts and stir them, Lord, to make a commitment unto you. Lord, just it's your evening. Bless, we pray, and we just give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck. Thank you so much. Well, in addition, of course, to these host locations, over 2,100 of them, we're also right now being joined live by over 600 radio stations and 9 TV networks across the country, in addition to all those watching live on the webcast at harvest.org, streaming on computers and mobile devices. But I think we can do something better. Could everybody with me at all of our locations, wherever you are, pull out your phone, and we're all together going to shoot out a tweet heard around the world. Okay? Last night at our event, we found the hashtag Harvest trending. It was just under Neil Armstrong, would you believe it, on all the trending topics in this country. But tonight, I think we can even do something more. Let's all send a tweet out about the webcast at harvest.org with the hashtag #HarvestAmerica. And let's see if we can't get even more people watching this webcast, more people knowing something's going on and that God is changing lives. If you Instagram, you can actually power your Facebook and your Twitter and everything right there. Of course, it breaks the rules. You're only supposed to post pictures of food you're about to eat, I think. But we could do it together. I'm going to post an awesome shot here. Okay. We can let people know about this whole thing going on at harvest.org. I think this is so powerful, it doesn't even need a filter. That's what I think. We're going to do that together. We're all having an internet moment together all across the country. Harvest.org, #Harvest. And you know what I think we can also do is get pretty excited because we're about to hear from Jeremy Camp. Check out this video.
Hope and healing, despite personal tragedy.
I'm not supposed to be visiting the graveside of my wife so young, you know? It doesn't make sense. I remember my friend has said, we need to hasten the day of the coming of the Lord, Jeremy. Let's tell people about Jesus. Let's live full on so we can hasten the day for his coming.
Jeremy Camp has taken personal experience and created anthems for the world.
When I sat down to write this song, what came out was just my heart and how I was feeling. It starts off saying, scattered words, empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never been so torn before. It seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel your grace fall like rain from every fingertip washing away my pain. I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth. I still believe in your word. And it's just that was a moment of like, okay, I'm going to be real and honest how I feel and this emotion, but I know you're faithful.
Cause I still believe in your faithfulness.
Characterized by a determination to faithfully glorify God through his music and lyrics, it's no surprise that his impressive career spans more than a decade.
I do kind of have a life verse, and it kind of sums up everything. It's Acts 20:24, and it says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish this race with joy and the ministry that was set before me to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Thankfully, I've gotten to see, you know, thousands of people, you know, be affected, not through me, because I'm wretched, you know. I don't deserve this at all. But I'm thankful, and I don't know why he uses me still. But it's his grace. And I love to see people come to know Jesus, because that's why I do what I do, and that's the Great Commission. Go into all the nations and preach the gospel to every creature.
A longtime friend and co-laborer with Harvest Crusades, tonight we are pleased to welcome back Jeremy Camp.
Oh my goodness. This is amazing to be back. I want to tell you guys something. The only reason why I'm here on stage tonight is because Jesus Christ has saved my soul. And there's going to be souls saved tonight, and I can't even tell you how excited that makes me. But what I want you guys to do in this chorus, every time you hear, raise a shout. It says, raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. I want you guys in here, they're watching online, listen on the radio stations, to shout as loud as you guys can. You guys do that? Here we go. Let's practice this. Raise a shout.
shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. As Jesus sings, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. As we join with heaven's song, to let all the world know that Jesus saves, raise a shout. To let all the world know that Jesus saves. Free at last, every debt has been repaid. Broken hearts can be remade. Why? Because Jesus saves. Above the storms of life, see you through the darkest nights, that Jesus saves. Free at last, yeah. Free at last. What a joyful noise we make as we join with heaven's song, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout. Jesus saves. We'll sing it out, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. As you say, you hear the story, your Father's heart to us. You rose to raise us from the grave. Your Spirit lives in us.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you so much. We are thankful that you love us in spite of ourselves. As this song says, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. I pray tonight you would move in this place and your spirit would pour and overflow. We love you, Jesus. Jesus says to disciples in John, he says, I say these things to you that you will have peace. In this world, you will face trials of many kinds. So it's not a surprise to us. But what does he say? He says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And that's the God that we serve, and the God who heals and sets free the captives tonight. The song's called Overcome. Love. blood that was shed, we can overcome. No matter what kind of walls have been placed up tonight, bitterness, distrust, marriage is broken apart. But only through Jesus Christ, you have to let go and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. We need to all stand together in this. I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you, all right? As we sing this, we will overcome. I want you guys to raise up your hands as high as the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Raise it up high and say, we will overcome. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Sing it out.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Is everyone will overcome.
Sing it out.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
History of our nation, God has raised up men and women to proclaim the gospel. From George Whitefield and Charles Wesley on horseback, to D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday in wooden arenas, to Billy Graham on the new media of radio and television. Today, technology has provided another new platform from which Greg Laurie and Harvest Crusades can carry on the tradition of proclaiming the gospel to our nation and the world. The church doesn't have to come to the arena. The arena comes to the church. Individuals on phones and laptops and groups meeting in homes, theaters, and churches are all linked together through a web of wireless connectivity, all at one time as one church hearing one message. The door is open. The ministry is ready. The message is clear. The opportunity is boundless. And the time is now to harvest America.
I've been a Harvest supporter for quite a number of years because I've seen the fruit from this ministry. I've seen family members and friends come to know Christ through the efforts of Harvest Outreach Ministries, and it's up close and personal, and I just never tire of seeing thousands of people turn their lives around through this ministry, and Harvest can always count on my support.
And my whole family has come to faith through Harvest and its many ministries. So had it not been for Pastor Greg being that bold sharing the gospel, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Pastor Greg has an amazing gift that God has given him, and it's in his DNA that he constantly and always will share the gospel. Not only does he share the gospel, but he follows up that gospel with a teaching, a discipleship, a program that gets people to grow in their walk with Christ.
I see Harvest using impersonal technology in a very personal way. And I've heard Greg say many, many years ago that he'll use any means available to reach the lost. Revival's coming to this country. And I believe that God is going to use Harvest Outreach Ministries for that purpose. And it's long overdue.
Would you stand with Pastor Greg and Harvest Ministries today and make a generous gift right now? When you give, request a copy of Pastor Greg's book, Hope for America. In Hope for America, Pastor Greg explains that God is the only hope for America's future and outlines what we as believers need to do to save our country. Just indicate it on your offering envelope, fill out the designated portion, detach the flap, and place inside the offering bucket with your gift. Or visit the webpage, harvestamerica.com, or call the number 800-797-HARVEST. Working together, with God's help, we can harvest America.
At this point, we're going to take some time and pause and pray and consider how we can become a part of this outreach this evening. And we're going to prepare our hearts to receive an offering. Now, whether you're here live in person or you're at one of our host sites or even watching on the internet, we can all together financially be a part of making Harvest America possible. In a moment, ushers will receive offerings both at Angel Stadium and at host sites around the country. But even if you're watching on the live webcast, you can go to harvestamerica.com and click the donate button. What's important is that all of us as believers consider prayerfully what we can do and what God has called us to do to be a part of the gospel going out. You see, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ at Harvest Ministries. We believe that it is the power of God unto salvation. Anybody with us together on that and on believing that's what our nation needs more than anything else? We want to bring the gospel to those who are without God and without hope in the world. But the Bible is clear. How can they hear unless a preacher goes? And how can a preacher go unless he's sent? Through your financial partnership, you can be a part of sending Pastor Greg Laurie and the Harvest team into the world. Now, I want to give you a few fast facts about tonight's offering. And if you could take a moment and look around your seat and locate your offering envelope, this should be around you, or if you're at a host site, perhaps it was handed to you when you came in. If you have that, could you hold it up in the air to show me you got it? You might have to wrestle it from your neighbor if he's drawing on it. Everyone have one? Okay, awesome. You'll need that. Now, a couple quick things you need to know. Number one, if you were invited by a friend brought here to hear the gospel or to understand who Jesus is, we want to know that we don't expect anything from you. All we ask is your attention. You're the reason we're here. Secondly, any gift you give tonight is tax deductible. And we want you to know that Pastor Greg Laurie receives no part of this offering that's going to be received in a moment. All these funds that are going to be collected, they're going to go towards the cost of this event, both in Angel Stadium and the gospel going out literally, the cost of it around the country. Additionally, you'll notice on your envelope, there's a picture of Pastor Greg's new book, Hope for America. And for any gift you give tonight of any amount, you're going to receive one of these in the mail, as long as you fill out the portion with your name and address so we can get one to you. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to have Jeremy Camp continue in a song as we receive the offering. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the gospel going out to so many people in so many places. And thank you that you've entrusted resources to our care, and we can use these things to be a part of you working in the world. You don't ask us to do what someone else can do, but you've called us all to do our part. And so we pray you would lead us in generously getting behind this outreach. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We are not taking up an offering. If anybody does want to give towards this, you can put it in the agape box in the foyer. But just enjoy the outreach, and it's been awesome so far. So let's just keep praying that the Lord will bring a great harvest. All right.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place where no more suffering, there will be a day with no more tears and no more pain and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. Yes. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. Thank you, Jesus. Journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. But there has never been a step where you walk down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart. The joy and peace he brings in the beauty that's in store. How is the hurt of life stained? But I hold on to this love and the promise that he brings. Suffering, there will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. When the very one I've lived for always will wipe away the sorrow that I face. Oh, it's just the scars that rescued me from a life of shame and misery. Oh, this is why I sing.
Of the world are upon Los Angeles. If it happens in LA, America and the world follows. If this is true, and if it's time to see America turn back to God, then why not start it in LA? September 8th and 9th, real answers for life's greatest needs. Harvest Crusades with Greg Laurie is coming to Los Angeles, and he's bringing some friends who also believe it's time for change. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Jeremy Camp, The Newsboys, David Crowder, Phil Wickham, and Nick Vujicic. Two nights, September 8th and 9th, Harvest Crusades with Greg Laurie at Dodgers Stadium in Los Angeles. This could be the beginning of seeing America and our world changed for the glory of God.
You're going to want to make sure and tune in 2 weeks from now. Dodger Stadium, lighten up. This event continues, and no matter where you are in the country, especially if you're in California, you got no excuse, but everybody everywhere can take part, throw a viewing party, have the webcast up, and bring some people who need to hear the gospel as this thing goes off 2 weeks from this weekend at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Well, this is an amazing thing. It's going great so far. I mean, we're getting live reports. We got people in Arizona. We got people in Florida. We're showing you some images of some of these host venues. People in Hawaii, New Mexico, Oregon, Pennsylvania. There's like 7,000 people in Dallas at Prestonwood Baptist right now. Can you believe it? With radio and internet and everything, they estimate that the reach of who's watching this is approximately 5 to 7 million people right now. Unbelievable. God is doing great stuff, and the best is yet to come. Anybody excited for some Mercy Me, by the way, at all? Oh, I thought so. Hey, check out this video.
I can only imagine. Those four simple words put to music, penned by Bart Millard after the death of his father.
I'd started writing the phrase "I can only imagine" down on everything I get my hands on, thinking about him being in a better place for about 7 or 8 years. And it was like if I was on the phone, I would doodle that phrase. If I was doing anything, I would somehow write that phrase.
I can only imagine brings immediate recognition to a song that ushers people into the very presence of God.
I can only imagine.
God is very, very big, and he's very much in control. That has probably brought me the most peace and the most hope through what we do. And it's the only message that I can have where I can say with confidence to people I don't know that, you know, I don't know why you went through what you did, but God is still in control. And that's really the only message of hope that we can bring to people during times like this.
Now, well over a decade later, Mercy Me is one of Christian music's most recognized and beloved acts. Their top hits have also included Word of God Speak, Almost There, Beautiful, Generous Mr. Lovewell.
Man, our hope is that God's in control. It's completely Christ. It's the cross. It's Calvary. It's the fact that we can sit upright right now and take our next breath knowing that God reigns supreme. Whether it's the darkest time of our life or one of the most blessed times of our life, nothing really changes as far as God's perspective. He still remains in control. He still saw this coming. And he still sees something in this that's going to glorify his name. God never stepped down from his throne. He never blinked. He never turned his head. He never said, oh, I didn't see this coming. Let's see if we can fix it. And I pray that you realize that God is certainly working in your life in a very big way, and he has very big plans in store for you and for the kingdom.
The number one desire of Mercy Me is to see the lives of men, women, and children transformed. Their desire to be obedient to God's calling and glorify him through music has never wavered. Joining us tonight, America, please welcome Mercy Me.
I'm not about to give up because I heard you say there's gonna be brighter days. There's gonna be brighter days. I won't stop, I'll keep my head up. No, I'm not here to stay. There's gonna be brighter days. There's gonna be brighter days. I just might bend, but I won't break. Yeah. As long as I can see your face. When life won't play along and right keeps going wrong, I can't seem to find my way. I'm gonna move, move, yeah.
just might bend, but I won't break. As long as I can see your face, we might won't play along, and right keeps going wrong, and I can't seem to find my way. I know where I found, so I won't let it drag me down. Oh, I'll keep dancing anyway.
No matter what they come, God moves to a different song. No matter what that brings, gotta move to a different beat. No matter what may come, gotta move to a different drum. No matter what that brings, gotta move to a different beat.
I just might bend, but I won't break. As long as I can see your face. When life won't play along, and right keeps going wrong, and I can't seem to find my way. I know where I found, so I won't let it drag me down. No, I'll keep dancing anyway. When life won't play along, and right
all have one thing in common, and that's that we all understand what pain and what hurt is. But the great news of all is that we also have another thing in common, and that's there's one ultimate healer. Amen? And if everything goes through one ear and out your ear tonight, I just pray that you remember that there is nothing, nothing too big for our Jesus.
Yeah.
are so grateful to be here this evening, and it is such an honor, and it means so much to us to be a part of this ministry, because it's to see a ministry of this magnitude to still maintain integrity that it's had from day one is something amazing to see. And we just thank God for Pastor Greg and everything that he's doing to try to change this nation and this world. And we'll stand alongside him no matter where he goes and what he does. Amen. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Sing it out. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. And I can only imagine.
on this road a while, and I'd like to tell you my story. The great American poet Robert Frost once wrote, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference." Growing up, I never seemed to find that road, the road less traveled. I'd like to say that all roads lead to somewhere, but reality is, some roads lead to nowhere. Born out of wedlock in the 1950s, my mom was married and divorced 7 times. She traveled a road of chaos, self-destruction, filled with alcohol abuse, pain, hurt, confusion, no trust. And I traveled it with her. As a product of the 60s, I began to choose my own path, ironically leading me to drinking and partying, but ending up in drug abuse, searching for acceptance and love, all that left me empty. You know, some people say sin is fun, and I'd agree, but that's only for a short, short season. And all that's left is just a dull ache. In the summer of my senior year in high school, I heard words I'd never heard before. There was someone who loved me. Someone who would never leave me, and someone I could trust. I made a conscious decision that day to choose a different road to travel. In the past 40 years, this life that I've been living has led me to share my experiences with literally millions of people looking for truth. I have the privilege of pastoring Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, and now a new venture of faith, Harvest Orange County. I've traveled this world, sharing this life-changing message through the platform of the Harvest Crusades. Has my life been perfect? No, far from it. There's been a lot of obstacles to overcome, a lot of storms to weather. Has it been free from pain? No. I have experienced deep, deep pain. The loss of my oldest son, Christopher, in 2008 in an automobile accident was the most challenging time of my life for my wife, Kathy, and myself. But it's on this road that I've chosen where I have found comfort and peace and forgiveness and meaning. And that is why I'll never stop traveling on it. Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life." I'm on that narrow road that leads to life now, and I hope you'll join me.
Hello, Harvest America. Welcome. Good to see all of you. I want you all to know around the country that we are roasting here in California so we could get it to you at just the perfect time. It's kind of late afternoon here. The sun is setting. People over in this section are getting a really nice California suntan. But we wanted to pick the optimal time for the whole country, and we have people watching all across the United States, which I happen to think is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I do. It's true. I would like to start naming cities, and I'm afraid if I start, I won't know where to stop. But a special shout out to some 7,000 people there in Dallas, Texas, at Prestonwood. God bless all of you in New Jersey and Hawaii and Ohio and Colorado. And thank you for joining us. And my time is up. Good night and God bless you. No. So listen, I read the other day that the phrase, "Is it possible to change your life?" was typed over 1 billion times into Google. Isn't that interesting? 1 billion times. People all around our country are asking the question, is it possible to change something about yourself? Newsflash, Google does not have the answer, okay? Nor does Surrey. Y'all know what Surrey is, right? If you have an iPhone, Suri's a little help there that will answer your questions. My wife and I were in a cab the other day, and my wife was talking to the cab driver, asking him a question. Somehow she activated Suri. Suri butts into our conversation and says, I don't have that information. It's like, who asked you? Suri just starts opining on things now. For fun, though, I did put this question to Suri the other day. I said, Suri, what is the meaning of life? Suri said, I don't know, but I think there's an app for that. I asked the question again. Suri, what is the meaning of life? She responds, all evidence to date points to chocolate. I type it in one more time, or say it one more time, rather. What is the meaning of life? And Suri responds, I find it odd that you would ask this question of an inanimate object. Exactly. Listen, I'll tell you where the answers are to that question, right here in the book that I'm holding. It's called the Bible. This is where you need to look. And I'm going to read to you in a few moments some verses from Scripture that record the conversation between a man named Nicodemus and Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. For some of you, these will be things you've heard before. For others, this will be brand new information and, quite frankly, truths that could change your life. I'm going to share with you the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? It means good news. And I have good news in a bad world for you, so I hope you'll pay very careful attention. You know, here in America, we're a religious people. 9 out of 10 American homes have a copy of the scripture. I think most Americans think they are Christians, quite frankly. But when you begin to ask people what they think the Bible teaches, you find they don't know much about it. For instance, despite the fact that 9 out of 10 American homes have a Bible, half of all adults in our country cannot name the 4 Gospels. Hint, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 82% of Americans believe that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is in the Bible. Sorry, it isn't. Jay Leno went out on the street. He has this little piece he does in his show called Jaywalking. He asked people the question, can you name any of the 10 Commandments? Very few could. One guy said, 10 Commandments, freedom of speech. Then Jay Leno asked the question, who was swallowed by a whale? And someone said, Pinocchio? It actually gets worse. 1 in 10 thought Moses was one of Jesus' 12 apostles, and 12% of American adults believed that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. I'm not making this up. I think there's a lot of people, quite honestly, that think they are Christians that are not. The Bible asks this question. Check up on yourself. Are you really a Christian? Are you just pretending to be one when you aren't at all? I think there's a lot of posers out there. You know what a poser is, right? It's someone that pretends to be something they really are not. Heard a story about a guy that was down on his luck and he was desperate to make some money. He heard they were hiring down at the local zoo. And he was hoping to get a janitorial position, so he went and applied, and the guy said, sorry, that position is filled, but I noticed you're a pretty good-sized guy, and I hope you won't take offense to what I'm about to ask you, but our gorilla died the other day, and it was one of our most popular exhibits, and this is going to sound crazy, but hear me out. Would you be willing to put on a gorilla suit and pretend to be the gorilla until the new one arrived? And the money is really good. When the guy found out how much they would pay, he reluctantly agreed. His first day out in the gorilla cage, he felt like a fool because here he is dressed up and he's thinking no one's gonna believe it, but he beat on his chest and let out some noises, and the crowds were big and the people were loving it. They were totally buying it. They're thinking this guy's an actual gorilla. So by day two, he's swinging back and forth on the vines and enjoying it. And on the third day, he got a little too carried away. He was swinging back and forth and went out of the gorilla enclosure into the lion's den. Now he was in a dilemma. If he cries out for help, everyone's gonna know he's a fraud. He's just a guy in a gorilla suit. But if he doesn't cry out for help, he's going to be lunch for the lion. The lion with a very hungry look in his face starts approaching him. The guy in the gorilla suit is backed up in the corner, and the lion whispers loudly, "Shut up or you'll get us both fired." Now a confession. I was the man in the gorilla suit. No. But the point of it is things are not always as they appear. Sometimes people seem to have it all together on the outside. They're calm, they're cool, they're collected, they're beautiful, they're handsome, they've got the cool car. But deep down inside, I know something about that person. In fact, I know something about every person everywhere, all across the United States, no matter if they're on the West Coast or the East Coast or the Midwest. Or for that matter, if they're somewhere else in the world, I know something about every person. Number one, I know that deep down inside, everyone is empty. There's an emptiness. We're born with it. The Bible even says that creation was made subject to emptiness, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. That's why there's always been a hole in your heart. And that relationship didn't fill it, did it? And that drug didn't do it, did it? And that experience and that degree and that accomplishment or that possession, none of those things filled that void deep down inside. I'll tell you what it is. It's an emptiness for God Himself. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. No, we are not a highly evolved animal. We are a man or a woman made in the image of God, designed to know Him. And there's nothing this world will offer you that will fill the void in your life except Jesus Christ. He can fill it deep inside of you, and you can do it tonight. Country superstar Keith Urban went to rehab for alcohol issues a while back. He felt it saved his marriage. And in an interview, he made this statement, and I quote, "Playing massive stadiums is not going to fill any hole in me," end quote. Exactly. Number two, everyone is lonely. The great scientist Albert Einstein wrote to a friend, "It's strange to be known so universally, yet to be so lonely." John Taylor from the band Duran Duran recently wrote an autobiography. He talked about in their touring days with the band, he would live in a haze of drugs and faceless women to stave off the loneliness. He recalls and quotes, "Everyone wanted to party with me, but behind the party face, I was caught up in a vortex of fear, arrogance, loneliness, and extraordinary popularity," end quote. Maybe you've experienced that loneliness. You've been at a party surrounded by friends, supposedly having a good time, but the Bible says, even in laughter, the heart has sorrow. Maybe you fantasize, "If I could just meet the right person and get married, I know I would be happy." So you meet that person and you get married, and then you think, "Now if I could just get rid of this person and meet another right person and get married, I'll be happy." And so you dump that person and meet the other person, and you say, "Well, maybe if we just had kids, that's what I'm missing. If I had children, then I would be happy," and you have children. Then you think, "If I could just find a way to get rid of these children, I know I would be happy." It just kind of goes on and on. Even married people will be lonely. One psychologist said, "It's because the more intimacy you expect from a person, the more lonely you feel when you don't get it." Listen, you're not lonely for a person. You're lonely for God. That's what you're longing for deep inside. Number three, everyone feels guilt. The head of a mental hospital in London was quoted to say, "I could release half of my patients if I could find a way to rid them of their sense of guilt." Maybe you have a great load of guilt on you right now. It's that thing you did that you know was wrong. You never made it right. That abortion, that crime you committed, that sin that you committed, and it haunts you to this very day. Listen, it's not necessarily bad to feel guilt. It means your conscience is working. In our house, we have a hyperactive smoke alarm. I mean, you cook a scrambled egg at a low flame, and it goes off. All the time, it goes off. And so we have a a broom handle that we have to stick up there and hit the little button to reset it again. But I would say it's an oversensitive fire alarm. Listen, better to have an oversensitive conscience than one that is seared or hardened. Here's why you feel guilt. Hate to break this to you. Because you're guilty. Because you're a sinner, just like me. Oh yes, that's right. I said sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You say, but I'm a good person, Greg. I keep the Ten Commandments. No, you don't. You break them. No one has ever kept all of the Ten Commandments except Jesus himself. And the Bible even says if you break one of these commandments, you're guilty of all of them. You feel guilt because you're guilty. But the good news is your guilt can be removed tonight along with your sin if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a few moments. Number four, everyone is afraid to die. Everyone's afraid to die. The statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of every one person will die. The Bible even says there are those who are held in slavery by their fear of death. Keanu Reeves, the star of the Matrix films, was recently interviewed. The interviewer said, people may be surprised to find that you're approaching the age of 50. Do you feel the same? Reeves responded, mortality is very different when you're 20 than when you're 50 or when you're approaching 50. The interviewer asked, do you think about that stuff a lot? Reeves responded, it creeps in here and there, doesn't it? You look out the window and you think about your eyes closing, end quote. Yeah, the fact that life is going to come to an end. William Shatner, the star of the Star Trek films and many other projects, is now 81 years old. Speaking of death, he said, quote, I'm so not ready to die. It petrifies me. I go alone. I go to a place I don't know. It might be painful. It might be the end. My thought is that it's the end. I become nameless after I spent a lifetime being known, end quote. That's right. Everyone is going to die. Woody Allen said jokingly, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. But it's going to happen. And people are afraid of it. Here in the Bible, in John chapter 3, and if you brought a Bible, you can turn there. I'm going to read from it in a few moments. It's a story of a man who had it all. He had fame, he had money, he had power, and he was deeply religious. But something was missing in his life. Or maybe it would be more accurate to say someone was missing in his life. There was a hole in his heart. Nicodemus was his name. He was known around the country. He was known as a spiritual counselor. But yet, he came searching. And here in John 3 is a story of a conversation between this religious, successful, famous man and Jesus. Now, you might ask the question, well, what relevance could a conversation between some dude named Nicodemus and a carpenter from Nazareth have to do with me living in the 21st century? Answer, everything. Because essentially, it's a conversation between God and man. If we were going to elect someone to represent us, we could not find a better rep than Nicodemus. He's as close as you could get to a good person. And what Jesus said to him is relevant for all of us that are searching for the answers of the meaning of our lives. There's three movements in this story. First, Jesus and Nicodemus are face to face, then they're mind to mind, and finally, they're heart to heart. Let me read it to you. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. He said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it. You can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who's been born of the Spirit. But how can these things be? Nicodemus asks. Jesus said, are you the teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? Born again. It's the idea of change. And deep down inside, we all want to change. Coming back to that question asked by so many people typed into the Google search engine. Can I really change my life? We try to change our lives through our appearance. Did you know that Americans spend over $11 billion a year on plastic surgery? And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Sometimes I look at some people and I wonder, did you actually want to look that way? I mean, this is what you were hoping for? If so, okay. Then there's Botox, you know, and some people use so much Botox, you don't even know what they're thinking anymore. They just have a permanent look in their face. Sometimes they look very surprised. Sometimes there's no expression. They might have to say to you, I'm very mad right now, but I have a lot of Botox on my face and you can't tell, but trust me, I'm mad. Well, we want to change deep down inside. And Nicodemus, the Bible says, was a Pharisee. Now, we often think of a Pharisee in a negative light because of all the things that Jesus said about them. But the fact of the matter is, a Pharisee was a man who had dedicated his life to keeping the commandments. It was very hard to become a Pharisee. They took a vow before three witnesses that they would devote their life to the keeping of the commandments. It's just that many of them were hypocrites. So not only was Nicodemus religious, he was a famous religious leader. That is why Jesus said, hey, you're the teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? Hey, Nick, man, you're the man. You don't know this? But he didn't know it. And despite your accomplishments, maybe there's a void in your life. Tom Brady, quarterback for the Patriots, has three Super Bowl rings, married to a supermodel, lives a life most would envy. He was interviewed a while back, and he made these candid comments. Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. I think, God, it's gotta be more than this. I mean, this isn't it. This isn't all what it's cracked up to be. So he was then asked the question, so what's the answer? He said, I don't know. I love playing football. I love being quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of other parts about me I'm still trying to find. No, you don't need to find another part of you, Tom. You need Jesus Christ. Because everybody needs Jesus Christ. Everybody. Not just immoral people. Moral people need him. Young people need him. Old people need him. Everyone needs Jesus. It's worth noting that the scripture says Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. So you could say it was Nick at night, right? Now, why did he come at night? Probably because he was afraid of others seeing him. After all, he's a celebrity. He's supposed to be the go-to guy for spiritual information, and yet he himself is searching. So he goes to Jesus at nighttime for this special meeting. You know, a lot of times we are so worried about what other people think about us. That's why the Bible says, we're just like sheep. All we like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray and we've turned everyone to our own way. Don't think it's a compliment when God compares you to a sheep, because they are truly one of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. They tend to follow one another. I read an article the other day about 450 sheep that fell to their death in Turkey. As it turns out, one sheep jumped off the cliff and 1,500 others followed. And the only reason they didn't all die is the first ones died and the others were cushioned by the ones that had landed before them. I mean, how stupid is that? One walks off a cliff, they all start walking off the cliff. First sheep said, okay, single line, let's go. We're going off the cliff, guys. It's not that bad. Let's go. Stupid. Is it any more ridiculous when we do what everybody else does and think what everybody else thinks and says what everybody else says and march in lockstep with a culture going in the wrong direction? I'm saying to you tonight, think for yourself. Make your own decision based on what Jesus Christ says. Don't let others do your thinking for you. That's why I'm glad you came. Did you tell your friends where you were going tonight? Maybe you did. Maybe they gave you some pushback. Hey, where are you going tonight? You want to go party? No. I'm going to this Harvest America event. What's that? Oh, it's Christian. Oh, no, no, no. Don't go. Don't go. You might become one of those born agains. I pray so. I pray you become one of those born agains because Jesus said you must be born again. So check this out. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. No one can do the signs you do unless God is with him. That's a pretty big deal for a guy of Nicodemus's caliber to call Jesus a rabbi. Understand, Jesus was effectively, humanly speaking, a peasant from Nazareth. Of course, he was the Lord of glory in human form, but Nicodemus was a man of letters. He was a man who studied, and he's saying, Rabbi, it's a term of respect, and Nicodemus respected Jesus. That's how a lot of people feel toward Christ. Oh, man, I respect Jesus. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a great moral teacher. Jesus was the greatest man who ever lived, some will say. I really admire Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus did not say, admire me. He said, follow me. That's what he's saying to you right now. It's not enough to just think good thoughts about Jesus. You need to follow him. And I'm going to tell you how you can do that. Like over 4,000 people who came down in this field to make a commitment to follow Christ last night. Here's another thing. Nicodemus was getting on in years. He asked Jesus the question, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Hey, Lord, I'm kind of old now. You know, I don't know if you can really change when you get old. You know, when you get older, you start liking routine. Older people sometimes live in the past. They only listen to oldies on the radio. They go to the same restaurant, the same time, and sit in the same seat and order the same thing. There are telltale signs you're getting old. You know you're getting old when someone compliments your new alligator shoes and you're barefoot. You know you're getting old when you don't care where your spouse goes as long as you don't have to go along. You know you're getting old when happy hour is a nap. You know you're getting old when you suck in your gut and your ankles swell. You know you're getting old when your idea of weightlifting is standing up. You know you're getting old when it takes twice as long to look half as good. You know you're getting old when your knees buckle and your belt won't. You know you're getting old when you actually look forward to a dull evening. You know you're getting old when someone calls you at 7 o'clock and says, did I wake you? You know you're getting old when you throw a party and no one even knows. You know you're getting old when you bend down to tie your shoes and you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. You know what I'm talking about? Now, when I'm down tying my shoes, is there anything I need to get? Because I don't want to do this for a while. Finally, you know you're getting old when your teeth and you no longer sleep together. But see, the longer you live, the more set you become in your ways. Nicodemus was getting old. There wasn't much time left. You might say, oh, Greg, that's good. Preach to the old geezers. I'm young. Newsflash, you don't know when life will end. You think you're going to live on to be 80 or 90? Well, maybe you will, and maybe you won't. Because death often comes unexpectedly. It comes sooner than we had planned. That is why the Bible says, prepare to meet your God. Listen to this. What if this were your last opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and you let it slip by? You said, well, I'll get to that when I'm older, when I'm really old, like 40. Now listen, you need to be thinking about this now. Most people make their commitment to follow Jesus before the age of 18. I'm hoping many of you will believe who are young, but I'm hoping many of you who are older will come to Christ or come back to Christ again. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now the conversation shifts from face to face to mind to mind. Nicodemus is saying, yeah, but I don't get it. Break it down for me. How can a person be born again? You know, some people think they're a Christian just because they're an American. Being an American doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a donut shop makes you a cop. All the cops are like, what? It's just a joke. All right. There has to come a moment when you believe in Jesus. Some say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not just one of those born agains. Newsflash, you can't be a Christian without being born again. Jesus says you must be born again. You see, it's not an option. Some will say, well, you know, I believe in the good Lord and I believe in the good book. Newsflash, the good book tells you that you need to turn to the good Lord and you need to be forgiven of all of your sin. Okay, so now we're mind to mind. How is this gonna happen? What is the process of this? Jesus gives the answer to Nicodemus. He makes a statement that is probably the best known scripture in all of the Bible. I bet you even know it by memory. I'm talking about John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16? Raise up your hand. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. You just said it. Let's break it down. For God so loved the world. Let's personalize it. For God so loves you. Now that's right. God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Say, well, I don't know, Greg. I feel that God's disillusioned with me. You know what? God never had any illusions about you to begin with. He knows all about you, but he still loves you. He loves you, and he proved that love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. God is not out to ruin your life. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He loves you and wants to reveal his plan for you. For God so loved the world, he gave. But what did he give? Listen, he gave his only begotten Son. There is no greater gift that God could have given. It's a gift that's offered to you. Listen, when someone offers you a gift, you have a choice to either accept it or reject it. Now, let me just say, when you give a gift to a girl with a card, she'll always read the card first. She opens it up. Oh, thank you. And she'll read it. That's so sweet. Thank you. And then she carefully opens up the package, taking out the ribbon. I'll save this for later. Doesn't tear the paper, opens up the box, thanks you again. You give a gift to a guy, if he opens the card, the only reason he's opening it, he wants to know if there's money in it. Wrapping paper is a mere obstacle to a man, is ripping it off. I don't care how you open the gift, just open it. God has put a gift out there for you right now. You either accept this gift or you reject this gift. There are no other options. It's a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now, here's your part. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's the question. What does it mean to believe? It's not mere intellectual assent. By that I mean, it's not simply saying, well, I believe there's a God up there. No, to believe means to put your faith in, your trust in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Yes, it's to let go of your sin and it's to take hold of Christ. Not good works in Jesus or religious stuff in Jesus. It's just you saying, Jesus, I reach out to you. I take hold of you. I believe in you. Do you believe in Jesus like that right now? You can receive this gift. There's no other option. You accept it, you reject it. Jesus goes on to say, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that mean, will not perish? Can I be blunt with you? It means if you believe in Jesus, you won't have to go to hell. And yes, friend, there is a hell. Just as surely as there is a heaven waiting for every man and woman who puts their faith in Christ, there is a hell waiting for everyone that rejects this offer of God. Oh, well, let me tell you something, man. I don't believe in a God like that. How could a God of love create a place like hell? God didn't create hell for people. God created hell, according to Jesus, for the devil and his angels. The last thing that God wants is for any man or woman made in his image to spend eternity separated from him in hell. So if you end up there, that's your choice. In fact, it's a lot of choices where you say no to Jesus over and over again. Listen, God has only dropped one lifeline from heaven, and it's Jesus. It's not multiple choice. You have to decide, and your eternal destiny rests on that decision. But listen to this. If you will believe in Jesus, the Lord says, you will have everlasting life. That means that you will have the guaranteed hope that when you die, you will go to heaven. Do you have that hope right now? You can have it by putting your faith in Christ. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You say, well, you're awfully arrogant. Well, no, it's not arrogance. It's just an acknowledgement of the truth of what God says. God keeps his promises. And I know I'll see him one day. And I know that I'll be reunited with loved ones that have gone on before me. I know I'll be reunited with my son that left us 4 years ago. And it was the hardest day of our life. But I know I'll see him again. And if you have loved ones who have died in the Lord and you put your faith in Christ, you will see them again. That's the hope of the gospel. That is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So coming back to that question, can you change your life? Answer, no, you can't change your life any more than a drowning person can save themselves. Now let me restate the question. Can God change your life? Answer, absolutely. He can change you right now if you will turn from your sin and put your faith in him. You say, all right, well, what do I need to do? How can I be born again? How can I have my sin forgiven? How can I come into this relationship with God you talk about? Number one, you must admit you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Say, well, I'm not a sinner. Actually, you are. Because you need to know what sin is. Sin's defined two ways. One is to cross a line. The Bible talks about being dead in trespass and sin. You've seen that sign in the park, no trespassing. So that means you cross a line. Well, I've never really crossed a line. Yes, you have. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever told a lie? No, I haven't. You just lie. Of course you have. Everyone has sinned. We've crossed over the line. But then the word sin also means to fall short of a mark. And what is the mark that God has set for humanity? It's perfection. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So you might say, what are you saying? You're perfect? Hardly. I'm not perfect, nor are you. We all fall short. Even the best of us fall short. Nicodemus, as good as they come, religious.
But he needed Jesus just like you need Jesus. Admit you're a sinner. Number two, recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. The Apostle Paul said he loved me and gave himself for me. When Jesus died on that cross, he shed his blood for you. Yes, it's true, God loved the whole world, but it's also true that God loves you. In fact, it wasn't nails that held Jesus to that cross 2,000 years ago. It was love for you. Recognize Jesus died for your sin. Why? Because there was no other way to satisfy a righteous God that we've offended. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be religious enough. So Jesus died in my place. You see, Christ came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. Number three, you must repent of your sin. What does that mean? The Bible says God has commanded people everywhere to repent. To repent means you change your direction. You've been going away from God. Now it's time to go toward God. So turn from that sin. Let it go. Remember, to believe is to let go of one thing and to take hold of another. Then fourthly, you must receive Jesus Christ into your life. Being a Christian is not merely going to church or carrying a big Bible around. Being a Christian is having Christ himself live inside of you. The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your life and I knock, and if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You see, you need to open the door of your life, of your heart, and say, Jesus, come in. Have you done that yet? Now listen, I can't do that for you. Your mom or dad can't do that for you. Your husband or wife, your son and daughter, your friend, they can't do that for you. Only you can open that door. You say, well, I'm not quite ready. Maybe I'll do it later. Well, let's illustrate that for a moment. Let's say you went home after church, and maybe you're sitting down to have a little meal. And let's say you have a glass door at your house so, you know, you can see out and people can see in. And let's just say that I decided to come over to your house and get some free food. So you're sitting down to eat, and all of a sudden there's a knock at your door. Who is that? Who? And you look through the glass, and there I am. Isn't that Greg, Lori, that bald preacher? What's he doing here? And I'm smiling and waving and knocking. You sort of smile and go back to eating, hoping I'll go away. I knock a little bit more. You continue to ignore me and eat your food. I knock a little bit more. Now 10 minutes have passed. An hour has passed. I'm still knocking. You're still not answering. Okay, after 3 hours, I get the hint. You're not inviting me in, are you? In the same way, here's Jesus knocking at the door, and we're saying, hey, Lord, how's it going? We think you're really great. But we're kind of busy. Not now. Just hang out there on the porch and maybe we'll answer later. Little time goes by. He's still knocking. Oh, well, Lord, there's so many things going on. Don't you realize that's an insult? To not open that door is to effectively slam it in his face. Open the door of your life and ask Christ to come in tonight. Number five, you must do it publicly. You must do it publicly. Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before people, I'll deny you before the Father and the angels in heaven. That's why in a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a public stand for Christ. Here in Angel Stadium, I'm going to ask you to come down to the field behind the stage and make your stand saying, I want to follow Jesus. For all of you watching in live venues right now, I'm going to ask you to get up and walk forward and stand at the video screen in the front of the room and make your public stand for Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus died for you publicly. He shed his blood for you openly. You can stand up for him. And lastly, you must do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tonight is your night. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to Jesus. This is a yes or no proposition, an either or situation. I pray you make the right choice. Listen, friend, your eternal destiny rests on it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.
Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and dying on the cross on our place. And now I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of every person listening or watching wherever they are on this planet. Help them to see their need for Jesus. Help them to come to you now and believe. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen very carefully. If you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want your guilt taken away, if you want that void in your life filled, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you wherever you are to get up out of your seat and begin to make your way down on the field here at Angel Stadium. That's right, get out of your seat, step into the nearest aisle, and make your way down to this field. You and the Harvest America venues, I want you to get up out of your seat and walk forward to the front of the room where the video screen is right now. Get up out of your seat and walk forward and make your public stand for Christ. There are some of you that have fallen away from the Lord, your prodigal sons and daughters. It was a time when you walked with God, but you've let other things crowd them out. It's time for you to come back to Jesus. I'm going to call you to make a recommitment to him as well. So you get up and come wherever you are. You're not too good to come. You're not too bad to come. You're not too young to come to Jesus. And you're not too old. Jesus said, he or she that would come to me, I would in no way cast out. So you get up right now. Step into that aisle. Make your way down on the field here at Angel Stadium. Make your way forward to the screen in the venue where you're at. Make your public stand for Jesus Christ as the group plays.
A choice is set before you now, living or dying, blessing or cursing. Time has come around to turn from your fighting and rest in his mercy. Choose life that you might live, the life that he gives. He gives you forever. Choose life the way that is true from the one. You
life that He gives. He gives you forever. Choose life the way that is true from the one who chose you, your Father in heaven. Choose life.
Can you imagine how nervous Nicodemus must have been the night he had an appointment with Jesus? I wonder if it popped up on his smartphone, appointment with Jesus, 10 o'clock p.m. He was going to sit down with the creator of the universe in human form and have a conversation. Listen, maybe it wasn't on your calendar, but I have good news for you. You have an appointment with Jesus tonight. Don't miss it. It's your choice. As the group has just sung, choose life that you may live. It's a choice. God will not force you to believe. God will not force you to be forgiven. God will not force you to go to heaven. It's a gift. It's a choice. It's up to you. Will you take it? He's calling you. There's more of you that want to make this decision to follow Jesus. I urge you to get up now and walk forward here at Angel Stadium. As many are filling the aisles, you come on down to this backfield and make your stand for Christ. There in your host venue, you walk forward to the front of the room there where the screen is, and I'll lead you in a prayer. There's still time for you to come. You get up and come now as the group sings. Thank you for coming to this Harvest America event. And as you've walked forward at this host venue, I want to lead you in a prayer. A prayer where you are asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. So if you would please, I want you to bow your head and I want you to pray this prayer out loud after me. Again, as I pray, you pray this out loud after me, okay? Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you died on the cross for me. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. I choose to follow you from this moment forward as Savior, as Lord, as God, and as friend. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless all of you that prayed that prayer. And I know many of you are watching on television or you're listening on radio. And so I want you to contact me. You can go to harvestamerica.com for more information, but you can email me and I'll send you a Bible called the Start Bible. You email me at greg@harvestamerica.com. Again, that's Greg with that little at sign at harvestamerica.com. Or you can call me at 1-800-797-HARVEST. Again, it's 1-800-797-HARVEST. Please register your commitment. Let us send you follow-up materials and encourage you and help you to find a good church in your area. Let me just say to all of you, God bless you. You've made the right decision, the decision to follow Jesus Christ. And thanks for being a part of Harvest America.
We're going to have the worship team come up at this time, and they're going to lead us in a couple songs. And if there's somebody here that you felt that tug in your heart to come forward, but you felt embarrassed, don't be embarrassed. You know, God loves you. God paid the price for you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. That's how much he loves you. And don't don't turn your back on the Lord. He'll never turn his back on you. In fact, he's reaching out to you with those nail-pierced hands, reminding you how much he loves you and cares for you. As we sing this song, if there's somebody here, you want to make that commitment, I encourage you to come on down. It's never too late, but don't wait too long, as Greg was saying. You know, we have Bibles here, the Start Bibles. We can get you plugged in and encourage you in your new beginning with the Lord. So let's stand together, and as we're singing these songs, let's worship the Lord. But if the Lord's putting it on your heart, maybe you're feeling that tug in your heart and you're thinking, man, I missed it because I didn't go forward when Greg called me. It's never too late. But don't keep waiting. Don't let your heart get hard to the Lord. I heard the gospel probably 25 times and I rejected the Lord and I was so far gone, but the Lord was there. He was faithful. And he loves you and he cares for you and he laid down his life for you. Father, we thank you for this amazing evening. We thank you for allowing us to be part of this Harvest America. Lord, we thank you for so many souls throughout the nation that I'm sure are coming to you, even as we saw there at Angel Stadium. And Lord, I pray if there's even one person here that wants their sins forgiven, they want to turn from their wicked ways and turn to you, Lord, that they would make that commitment even now. And the Bible says when one sinner turns to Christ, all the angels in heaven rejoice. He loves you. He cares for you. He paid the price through the shedding of his blood to set you free. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for being here in our midst. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters that are here. I pray that you would encourage them, that you would bless them, that you would fill them up overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that they would continue to be light and salt in this world that needs to know that Jesus Christ is alive, risen from the dead. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if anybody wants to receive the Lord, never too late. Come on down.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Wonder so painless, my fear is sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. When Jesus came like a stranger in the night, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I walked in darkness, the clouds covered me. I had no idea which way I would be. Then came the sunrise and pulled back the night. Praise the Lord, Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Blind man wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. And like a blind man, God gave me back my sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that woman, God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Praise the Lord. What was her name? Jim brought her. Jim Spiegel brought her. It's his friend's granddaughter, and she accepted the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think it's Carrie. It's Carrie, yeah. And so she's getting a new Bible and some counsel to get started in the right direction with the Lord. And again, if there's anyone else, don't keep putting him off. Jesus is here. He loves you. He paid the price to set you free. Father, we thank you for this time together tonight. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the angels are rejoicing. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to go forth in power and in love and in truth, and that many souls would be set free. We thank you for the seeds that were planted tonight through the simple gospel message. May those seeds be watered, and may you bring a tremendous increase, Lord. May you save many souls. Lord, thank you that as we live in these last days, you've given us all that we need for life and godliness. You've given us your Holy Spirit, and you've given us your word. May we continue to hold fast to the promises you've given us as your bride, as your church. Lord, I pray that you would meet the needs of all my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray that you would encourage them. Those who have broken hearts, they would be mended and healed by you. Lord, those who are hurting physically, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you, as the great physician, would bring healing into their lives. And Lord, we thank you that you love each one of us. And we pray that you be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out tonight. And we look forward to doing this again next year. And so now you've got a taste of what it's like. And so I encourage you to keep this in prayer. And may the Lord just pour out his spirits in abundance in these last days. And many more would come to know Jesus. Amen. Amen. If anybody